I'm Heather,
and
this is Rebecca, and we're going to be talking about children's services. And you'll notice that Rebecca has gone to the trouble to actually be ready to produce a child in the next little while, but not today, we hope. So it's a great pleasure to be here, and again, celebrating, as we all are, 70 years of the NHS in Wales. And I absolutely loved Gwyn's story of his grandma, because obviously we are all about stories, aren't we? And you know, our nation is one of bards and storytellers and singers. And I was reminded of that wonderful Waldo Williams poem, A Town of Edwyr, which of course is even more beautiful when it's sung. Ich yr aira wybren ros, lle mae Abertawe'n fflam, rose red sky above the snow, where bombed Swansea is alight. As his grandmother told him that story, I remember my mother telling me about her journeys to medical school in Cardiff, actually in 1948, but you know, those stories have been passed on from our older generations to our children. And that's the point of what we want to be talking about today. What are we doing for our children's vision so that as they grow, and the important years of childhood are maxed out, they get everything that will help them fulfill their own potential, because that's only any of us can do. So as you can see, we have a double act today. I'm the monkey and Rebecca's the organ grinder, and so because she's the one who has been leading on a really important part of this whole project. I'm just going to set the scene with children's vision screening. Now, children's vision screening at school entry has been happening actually ever since way before the NHS started. In about 1903, the school health service was set up, because 60% of men who were actually conscripted to fight in the Boer War back in 1899-1900-1901 were found, 60% were unfit to march in line and carry a rifle. And that's why the school health service was set up, and it started checking walking, it started checking vision, hearing, and medical examinations, heart examinations, that sort of thing, because, you know, they were highly prevalent in those days. So we know that screening children's vision has been taking place for many a year, but it was a health board responsibility as opposed to a kind of screening Public Health Wales responsibility, and it was getting a bit flaky, frankly. Some people were doing it, some people weren't. And so we had a fantastic piece of work with many of you present contributed to. It was a multi-agency piece of work saying we've got to get an evidence-based pathway for children's school entry vision screening at 4 to 5. We achieved a consensus, and we published that as a Welsh Health Circular in 2015. So, and the result of that was we monitored it over the years, 2018 this year, of course, and what we did was actually push people to put the mechanisms in place and report on them. So we talked about prudent healthcare. That was prudent because it was working through co-production, the equal partners, with the people who were service users. We were trying to care for those with greatest need by making sure that we had coverage. And in fact, the success we've had is actually making sure that every health board now offers it. Not every health board was offering this service in a quality assured way when we started. They are now. Still not perfect, but again, there's always improvement, but we now have universal coverage across Wales health boards. We only do what is needed. It's a very precise screening program, and it's very heavily evidence-based. So that's prudent healthcare in terms of children's school-age vision screening. But we have to ask ourselves the question, who's not there? Who does it miss? And we realised that children in various difficult social or physical or disabled circumstances were actually not able to access this. And that was why we said, right, in that case, in order to make sure that every child is covered by this, whoever they are. We have to have something slightly different. And we were building on the fantastic research done in this place, led by Maggie Woodhouse, we found that children in special schools were, as you can see, much more likely to need visual correction, much more likely to have a problem that would affect their daily life, everything in their life, everything in their education, but they just could not access services. So we had to do something about that. And so I'm going to hand over to Rebecca to tell you what we did.
Thank you very much. In recognition that the children's vision pathway wasn't actually meeting the needs of all of the children in Wales, provision of eye care for children who can't access the children's vision pathway is actually now noted as one of the key priorities on the revised eye care delivery plan, which is issued by Welsh Government. And in response to that new key priority, funding has been made available from Welsh Government for a 12-month period for the school pupil eye care service project. Now, the aim of the project is to develop the service infrastructure and delivery model which would be required for a phased rollout of an all-Wales school pupil eye care service from next year. It's very collaborative working. The project is led by Howard Barr University Health Board. The clinical leadership is from the current Low Vision Service Wales clinical lead. We have a project manager based in Howard Barr University Health Board, and we have project leads based in Welsh Government as well. So it's a real piece of collaborative work. The aim of the service would be to provide eye care for children and young people with additional learning needs who are unable to access the current children's visions pathway. And the care for these children would be provided within the educational setting. And if we manage to do that, I think we can be fairly comfortable in saying that we really are meeting those four key points of prudent healthcare for all of the children in Wales. So what would the service look like? The service would be a non-profit making model, and as the Low Vision Service Wales and Eye Health Examinations Wales services are, it'd be hosted by a host health board on behalf of the other health boards in Wales. And there would be a cohort of practitioners, which would be optometrists and dispensing opticians, who would deliver sight tests which fulfil the general optical services requirements of a sight test. This is really important because I think it's important to note that we still want everything to be equitable for our children in Wales, and we're not proposing that these children in special schools or in special classes in mainstream schools get above and beyond what their mainstream peers would get through vision screening and attending the optometrist. We're aiming for exactly the same provision for both groups of children. As part of the service, we would prescribe glasses. We will give out glasses within the school setting if that was required by the child. Alternatively, we can issue a prescription which can be taken to the local optometric practice where the children can get their glasses there. It would of course be a paperless service with a host health board acting as administrators. We've spent some time as a group, as a Children's Vision Advisory Group and a group off that group, discussing eligibility criteria. And as it stands, this is our current eligibility criteria. So eligible children would be those children and young people who attend school and require an alternative route to the current Children's Vision pathway due to physical disability, learning disability, behavioural considerations, or well-being considerations. And as a fail-safe, catch everybody, make sure we didn't miss them in that definition, for children and young people who don't meet that criteria, an application could be made to the service clinical lead, who would assess each application on a one-on-one basis, which is similar to what we do for the Low Vision Service Wales NAM. As with the other Welsh Eye Care services, we would need a training and accreditation for our practitioners. And to meet these requirements, there would need to be a development of a bespoke specs module, which would consist of distance learning lectures, mandatory practical training day, and importantly, a mandatory day spent within a special school environment. When I started doing this work, I'd not set foot into a primary school for a really long time. I definitely, you know, had limited experience of going into special schools, even though I was very used to testing children with additional needs within our hospital setting. And I think it's really important that if this service is to work, the practitioners understand entirely what the educational day for these children looks like and what it's set up of, and conversely, that the educational setting understands exactly what we're all about and what we're trying to do and how we can benefit them, rather than being that person who turns up every Monday and asks for a room and disrupts things. There would be ongoing training, reaccreditation and clinical support. And we see the training that practitioners would do as being tailored to their needs. So I've had lots of practitioners approach me and say, I'd really like to do that, but what would the training like to be? What would the training be like? And some of them come from it from the perspective as from, would it be really onerous and would it take hours? You know, I've already got lots of experience in this. And some practitioners come from the perspective of, I would love to do it, but I would need loads of help and I wouldn't know where to start, and would there be someone there to support me? So we see the training being made up of a set of core competencies, a set of standards that you have to reach, but it's about how our individual practitioners with varying experience meet those standards. So since we started this work, which was April this year, I've had lots of questions fired at me. Some of them I've been able to answer and some of them I haven't. I've just got a few here of the questions that I've been asked on the most regular basis, maybe. The first one, which seems like a really innocent question, but my colleagues in Welsh Government will know that this is the one which is the hardest to answer. How many children will be eligible? Now, this is really hard because we started off, as many of you will remember a few years ago, where we were just looking at children within special schools. We know how many children attend special schools in Wales, but we still weren't being equitable because there's children in mainstream schools which are educated in special units, and we were missing those. We can't look at children who have got statements of special educational needs, because the statementing varies across health boards, and actually one of the schools, special schools that we test in, only 50% of those children have got a statement of special educational needs, so we can't look at that. After a great amount of work done by my colleagues in Welsh Government, and thanks to them and colleagues in education in Welsh Government, we have managed to come up with the numbers that currently in special schools in Wales, there are 5,360 children-ish. In special units in mainstream schools, we've got around 4,000 children. So that gives us a total of about 9,341. So we start to see what our cohort for this service might look like. There's obviously huge caveats around these numbers, the first of which being that we know from the pilot work that we've done that in special schools we have about a 75% consent rate, so uptake rate of the service. We know that some children in special schools can actually attend their optometrist, so they don't need to be seen by us. We know this will be the same for some of the children in special units in mainstream schools. We also know, as Heather touched on earlier, that actually probably 50% of these 7,000 children will need glasses, which means that they'll probably need to be seen more than once a year. So like I say, the numbers come with lots of caveats, but we're getting a clearer picture of what we need to work with going forward. After that tricky question comes another trickier question of, well, is there a large enough workforce to meet demand? Now, I've done some really simple maths looking at how many testing weeks we'd have that we could go into schools and provide this service, remembering that schools have 13 weeks, I think, holidays. I've built in a bit of we'd probably lose 4 weeks due to Easter bonnet parade, Father Christmas visitors, and other things which happen when you go into testing a school and you just happen to turn up on a day where there's something more important going on, like Father Christmas. So I've taken the testing weeks down, and I've said, based on my own experience, that when we go into special schools, as an optometrist, I usually see 6 or 7 patients a day. Which means that if I were to do that work full time, I'd see around about 1,000 children a year. Okay. Which gives us, if we go back to the previous slide, if we're thinking around about 7,000 children, that actually makes a workforce that we need look achievable. We wouldn't have just full-time practitioners, we'd have part-time practitioners and more part-time practitioners, but it is an achievable. A couple of last points quickly. If children and young people already see an optometrist, then we want them to keep seeing their optometrist. In the pilot service, I have children who have consented, they come, they sit down, they're wearing their glasses, and they go to an optometrist, which they're very happy with, at which point I say, you're seeing your optometrist, that's great, we don't need to see you. We recognise that the children's vision pathway, as it stands, is the preferred pathway for children. We're not looking to take children out from that pathway. We're looking just to capture ones which can't access that pathway. And then we have the question around transition. Obviously, children don't stay children forever, and they don't stay in school forever. Part of the transition is in encouraging children to go to their optometrist when they're able to for their glasses. So to start off with, we might do the sight test and prescribe glasses. A couple of years down the line, we might do the sight test and say, go and see your optometrist or local optometric practice to get glasses, and hopefully throughout the school life, lots of children will get to the point where they're actually able to transition throughout the school life into the optometric services. I'll stop there before we get through the recording.